We are heavy in clay. Very yes. dense in clay.
Yeah.
The water runs off of clay.
Yeah.
So you water your yard, especially if you have just a little bit of slope, you'll see water running down the street, which is a bad no-no in San Angelo.
Yes.
Is that what you aerate? Would that help?
Yeah, aerating definitely helps that. Yeah. Aerating, it depending on what kind you use, it pokes a hole in the ground and it gets oxygen and moisture into those little holes and it loosens up tight clay type soils. Because actually, I learned this from Brad, that's why they aerate the greens twice a year and they aerate the fairways once a year. It's important to get the water to go down into those holes to feed the roots. And I didn't know this, I learned it from Brad. It's equally important to get the oxygen down in there. I didn't know that. Yeah, I learned that from him.
Yeah, I just learned something from you.
Yep. Yeah.
So, wow.
And there is a product. Come back to ask me this in 5 minutes because I'm blanking. There is a product that you can put on your lawn. Pelletized gypsum. There is, if you can't remember this, email Scott or call me and I'll write
just
it
call
down
Don.
For you. Call me.
And where are they going to call you at?
Oh, you call me at a local 234-5284. You can also Google me and I'll come right up there if you can't remember that. Pelletized gypsum is really inexpensive. They sell it at Lowe's, Home Depot, Westlake Hardware, probably Best Techs. And it's a product that you broadcast on your lawn like fertilizer, and it helps to break down the soil. It loosens a tight clay soil over time. It's really inexpensive. I think it's $4 or $5 a bag, which is a fraction of what fertilizer costs. I think it does. I don't use it a lot, but I know it works. I think it does take several applications over a period of time. Not several a month, but several over a couple of years, like three times a year over a couple of years. These pellets of gypsum break down, and I don't know scientifically how they do it, but these little pellets break down with water, and they loosen, and they somehow loosen up the structure of the soil and the tightness and the bindingness of the clay that's in it.
Well, and we need something, because one thing, if y'all don't know this, we have a lot of salt in our water in San Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
With the rain. Thank you for the rain. I don't want you to talk about that too. But
oh, yeah.
You got to do something, because if you keep putting salt on grass, salt, that's not healthy. So you have to have some other chemicals, minerals, right. Something, I'm guessing, to.
And that situation is probably going to get better because the reservoirs are so full that I think that the worst of the salinity or the saltiness of the water is behind us. Now, it could happen again in 10 years, who knows. But
for sure.
When the reservoirs were really low, the lower they get, the worse the water quality gets. They're so full right now, I suspect we're in pretty good shape with the level, the quality of the water and the different solids that are in the water. But one thing I'm certain of, and there's no amount of sprinkler water that can mimic the benefits of rainwater. Rainwater is just perfect. It's pure, and you cannot mimic that unless you're going to put reverse osmosis water on your lawn. I don't see anybody doing that.
That would be expensive.
Rainwater, and the good thing about rainwater is, as it happens, and it's happened a ton here lately, it rinses and washes out a lot of those salts, and either washes them away or into the soil. It helps in so many ways.
Dilutes them for sure.
It dilutes them for sure, and that's why you see. I mean, you drive around town right now, and I mean, it is. Well, you see, it's just as green as a gourd everywhere you look.
Now, I want you to answer a question: okay. Truth or myth? When it's raining and it's lightning and thundering and all that,
yeah,
this is what I was told, it ionizes like the rain or something, and it's really, really good for the shrubs and stuff.
I think what you're alluding to is something that I read one time. I think it's true. I don't think it's a wives' tale, but I'm not smart enough to say for sure. And that is that when lightning appears over the area, over our town, yeah, it releases nitrogen. Is that what
that's,
you're? Is
yes,
that
what
you're
getting? Exactly, yeah. What I'm getting at.
Lightning. Now, I don't. Does it release as much nitrogen as I can put out of a 50-pound bag with a fertilizer spreader? I hope not. But I've read this before. It says I've read that lightning releases nitrogen into the atmosphere, which helps plant life. I think we can buy nitrogen can be bought. It's if you ever see a bag of fertilizer and it has the three numbers on it and it says blank, 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 and the first number is 21 and the second two numbers are 00, and that's your nitrogen. And that stuff is straight nuclear nitrogen. It will green your yard up in a moment.
I'm going to tell you two stories real quick before we take a break.
Yeah.
Why I pay you to come help me with my yard and why I don't do it.
Yeah.
One, if you put too much nitrogen on the grass,
yeah,
and do it incorrectly, mm-hmm. like I did years and years and years ago, you can kill your grass.
Mm-hmm.
Did that. Number two, I work on Saturdays and I work on Sundays doing open houses. So I said, I mow my yard on a Wednesday. Guess what happens when the person you have their house listed for drives by and stops and go, I'm paying you quite a bit of money to sell my house and this is what you're doing during the middle of the day?
Right.
Doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I get it.
So let a professional take care of you and do it right.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to make it wrong.
Yeah, there's stuff nowadays is made pretty safe. A lot of your fertilizers, thankfully, stuff that they sell at for John Q homeowner that he's going to buy at the nurseries here in town or a home improvement store, it's all pretty safe stuff. It's all slow release chemicals to where if a person got too carried away and over applied fertilizer or if they applied it and didn't get a chance to water it in and it didn't rain, it's unlikely to burn or hurt the lawn. It's all been sort of formulated for the homeowner who doesn't always know the right way to do it. Now, the nitrogen, though, the 2100, which is usually labeled ammonium sulfate on the bag, that stuff is hot.
Yes.
Chemically hot. If you overapply that on your lawn, you could hurt it. If you apply it on your lawn properly, it's not science. You just don't put it on too heavy.
And water it.
And water it in. It will green it. All it does, the nitrogen portion of the formulation of fertilizer, the only part of the yard it helps is the green. It doesn't help the roots. It doesn't help the root structure and the plant structure, but it does make it green.
And pretty.
And pretty. The golf course puts it out by the ton.
We're going to take a quick break, let our sponsors get a word in, and we'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome back to Real Estate and You. Hey, that was some good info, sir.
Thank you, Scott.
But let's keep going. Okay. I have a question. You know the things you see at the nurseries or place for trees where you hammer them in, yeah. Little spikes? What about something like that?
Those things work just fine. They're little, they call them spikes. They're little nuggets, little spike-shaped nuggets of fertilizer that's been compressed into a little, looks like a little...
Spike,
yeah. And they even give you a little cap that you can put over the top of it so when you beat it with a hammer, it'll go in the ground real good. They work just fine. You have to use those around the what they call the drip line of the tree, which is the canopy. You know, you don't put them right next to the trunk. And what they do is they break down over a period of time, and it takes a while with rain and sprinkler water and time and oxygen. And those things break down and crumble, and then they just turn into – they just kind of break down and they feed the roots. But they go to the roots of the trees, which is the most logical place. We don't fertilize trees by spraying the leaves. We fertilize trees by feeding the roots.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
On trees, recommendation from you, if you're going to build a new house or you've got a brand new yard, how's that for you?
Yard.
What trees would you recommend to plant here in San Angelo? That would grow, you know, because brand new, so you want to, if you buy a big one, it costs a lot of money, so you buy a regular size tree.
Everybody, live oak is always a sure bet. Red oaks are a good bet. Sometimes they have some sickness problems with yellowing and iron deficiency, so live oak is always a no-brainer. Cedar elms are good. One of the trees that I like and it grows really well here, it's a little underused, is a Chinese pistache. It's not an ornamental tree. It's actually a deciduous tree. It doesn't have pistachios on it. Yeah, I know. But it has a really interesting shape. It doesn't require a lot of pruning as the years go by. And somehow, it just always has a pretty shape. You know, live oaks tend to grow kind of craggly and they kind of go everywhere, and so do red oaks. And these trees have a really nice shape to them. They're fairly fast growers.
Would we put one of those in the circle drive?
We could.
It'd look good because I think it's a pretty, pretty tree.
Yeah, I'll show you. Yeah, I mean, okay.
What's the difference in a red oak and a Spanish oak? Are the leaves basically the same?
I think it's just they're pretty close to the same. I think the reason why they call it the red oak is because in the fall, the leaves turn a really pretty auburn sort of color when they fall. It just only lasts a few weeks, and of course, none of the other oaks do that. They just drop leaves with their original color.
Well, green. As you know, we've put it. I've got.